The Rick Renner series.
Whoa, hello.
I feel like I'm that's a little extra
Hello
time or
there.
something.
That's right.
Yes, go back and do it.
It was good. You really missed out. And getting into relationships. And then also, we were talking about why do bad things happen to good people? And really had some good insight on that. And again, we're so focused in this in our nation about especially sometimes the us charismaniacs sometimes, if something bad happens and we're out of faith, right? Or there's something wrong. And sometimes that is true. That if something does happen to us, we are missing the mark. And I always like to check up on myself and say, okay, am I missing something here, Lord? But I don't really see that Joseph was in sin. Right? I don't see that Jesus was in sin. But they still had challenges in their life. And then, sometimes that challenges happen, then we start blaming God and what's going on here. And obviously right now, you look at gas prices, you look at things like there, there's just stuff going on in the world right now, but you can definitely get pulled into negativity. And that's, I know for myself, I used to really watch the news and do things, and I don't even really watch it anymore because, you want to pray about things, but then also too, what am I going to do about the war other than pray? What am I going to do about this other than pray, right? And sometimes it's just, what's that? Somebody else's problem. It's not my responsibility, but I still want to pray about things. And so, we can get all upset and get full of anxiety. And we do live in a world where, again, where if people don't agree with them or make them feel comfortable, then again, you get attacked for that. You get attacked for your belief system. You get attacked for loving Jesus, right? Oh, you're weird. You're this or that. But we're overcomers. And I am going to base my faith on the Word and the Holy Spirit than my situation and my circumstances. Did you know that even though the Bible talks about, even though things can go wrong in our life, it's still good? Because a bad day here is way better than a good day in hell, right? As a believer, this is the worst it's ever going to get. It's only going to get better. Only going to get better. And Romans 12, 21, the NLT, New Living Translation. Romans 12, 21 says, don't let evil conquer you. Just that sentence right there says so much. Do not let evil conquer you. The Bible talks about the enemy comes along as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I remember I was just sharing in prayer earlier, one of my business groups that I'm in, a lady, she does mortgage and things like that too, and her son just committed suicide this week. Hung himself, and she found him, and it was just terrible. And he was had depression and all kinds of. There's just hurting people out there that are just dealing with a lot of junk, and they're allowing the devil to overtake them. They are right here, the scripture. They are allowing evil to conquer them. But guess what? Evil is not will not conquer you tonight, right? It will not conquer you tonight. It will not conquer you. You don't have to let evil conquer you. And there's hope. And then it says, and then it goes on, the Apostle Paul says, but conquer evil by what? Doing good. Do the right thing. How is that? Now, loving and caring people, but it's also too listening to the Holy Spirit, getting into the Word, doing the right thing. Yes, get gas. Pick up that diesel, right? Absolutely. But doing the right thing, doing the right thing. Just even things in business realm, sometimes I've lost, lost money on deals just because it's like, we're going to do the right thing. Right? Because I know if I don't, I won't be able to sleep at night. And then also too, you know, if, you know, sometimes things happen, but also too, you know, I don't want to feel like people are vulnerable or, you know, I can sleep at night. I want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And that's something that we always, you know, always talk about. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to walk away. We want to do the right thing. And so when we see here, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So how are we going to combat the evil is we're going to do the right thing, right? Even when it's inconvenient, even when, you know, our flesh doesn't feel like it, we're going to do the right thing. You know, there's sometimes I'll pray and my flesh is just, I just don't want to do it. But guess what? I'm conquering evil by obeying God, right? And what is that scripture in Timothy? It talks about what? What does it say? The Apostle Paul says that we're going to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. You know, so many people, we just quote that as, we're just going to resist the devil and he'll flee. No, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee, right? So we are overcomers, not because of us, but because of Jesus in us. And so I was listening to this guy, this week, and he is a minister and he does business and he's been a pastor minister over the years, but he was talking about just, you know, even when it sometimes is so uncomfortable and it crucifies our flesh, where, you know, he was talking about the story. He had a girlfriend years ago before I got married, and just talking about, his girlfriend had cheated on him with his good friend. Well, his girlfriend had asked for forgiveness, and it was very difficult. He had forgiven her, but his friend didn't ask for forgiveness, right? Didn't talk to him, just kind of hid and vanished. And he says, it really bothered me. And he says, I got to the point where I just absolutely hated him. It was anger. And the Lord's just kept dealing with him about, you know, you need to forgive him. And then he said, so finally he says, I would say, I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive him. And then the Lord said, was talking to him one day, and he goes, you need to love him. And he says, whoa, like love is like a big word here, Lord. You know, I mean, you know, I don't want to go that far. Right. And then he said, well, I said, I love him. And he says, it just felt weird. I love him in Jesus' name. And he kept saying that and kept saying that and kept saying that. And then he says, then the feelings came. Right? Like I generally had compassion on him. And then he said, about a year or two later, he got a call from this guy and he said, you know, I never asked you to forgive me, but I want you to forgive me. And also too, you're the reason why I'm serving God today and I love Jesus is because of your example. And so, you know, we have no idea the impact we're going to have on people, right? Just by being an overcomer. And really, you know, having bitterness is kind of like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You know, when we hold things against people, right? Because forgiveness really doesn't have anything to do with us being weak people. You know, we think that's weak, where, well, we're going to forgive them. We're going to do this. But really what it is, it protects us. Forgiveness and being an overcomer and doing the right thing and, you know, overcoming evil and don't letting it's something that it protects us and our family. And, you know, one of the interesting things is just, I listen to there's some Catholic priests I really like listening to. I don't agree with everything, but they're just some good things they do have, you know, and there's some biblical truths that it doesn't matter what you call yourself. If you're going to operate in biblical truths, they're biblical truths, right? It doesn't matter, you know, you call yourself a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, Charismatic, word of faith. It doesn't matter. The word's the word, right? But the interesting thing was this Catholic priest was talking about just opening doors. And this is also one of those things where just being an overcomer, you close the door to the devil, right? And we don't think about things because a lot of Christians, you know, there's a debate about drinking and, you know, whether Christians should drink. And I always go back to, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. And my whole thing on that is, first of all, you know, that's the statement that says the latter wine is better than the former wine. And really, that's a typology of the new covenant, meaning the new is better than the old, right? Because the blood and the covenant, that's a typology. The first miracle that Christ did was the miracle of turning the water into wine. And everybody gets so hung up on drinking it rather than miss the point of that normally in that culture, in that setting, the first wine is the better, and then the latter is the stuff because everybody's been drinking. They don't care at that point. But the point was that the better wine was later, which is, again, who? Jesus is better than the old covenant. But what we're doing is when we're seeing things like this, Romans 12:21, it says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. What it means also, too, is we're not opening the doors to the devil, are we? Right? We're not doing things to let, you know, give the enemy access to our life. And then therefore we're going to live a joyful life. We're going to have peace in our life. You know, because we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. My computer doodad is, I love the internet service here, you know, in Ankeny. It's just so wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, it's like, hey, there we go. So no, I'm not texting. No, I'm not checking Facebook. I am reading my sermon here, you know. All right. So that's not coming through my iPad because my internet service isn't coming through, but that's okay. So it's like, hey, pastor's texting. He's a hipster. No. But let's look at 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. 1 Peter 3. Now, the reason it don't, you know, the scripture is a scripture, and this is where, but I love the scripture because the end of it, the whole thing is really good, but it says 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and he's talking about wives and husbands and relationships and things like that too. This is, in the same way you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words, and they will be what? Won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. And I love how Rick Renner talks about this scripture, you know? What's he's talking about? He's like, because of your actions, wives, you actually have a lot of influence, and godly can actually change things in your home. Amen? And it's because of, again, your godly went over by your pure and reverent lives. And so there are things that may be difficult situations, right? Sometimes not every husband's the easiest to handle, right? There can be some challenging husbands out there, right? But there are things in there that we can do. Revelation 12:11. It's interesting because some of these Christians that I was listening to, they're business people, and they're talking about how many times they failed. They have businesses that failed, things that failed. And they look back and they think, it's not a failure, but it's what I learned, you know? And we think in life, if something just doesn't go our way, or we're not moving that direction, or things just don't, you know, just pop open like ripe cherries off a tree, or then it must not be God, it must not be these things. And sometimes we have to just battle through things, right? But the Holy Spirit's with us. The Lord's helping us. But I like here, Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Here we go. And they loved not their lives unto death. We're in it to win it. Remember talking to somebody, clients in the past when I did finance and everything, they're like, well, talking about this. I say, hey, I'm in it to win it. We're in it to win it. An overcomer has a winner's mentality, right? A winner's mentality. I was so encouraged because when I was in I see that an Iowa team is in a Little League World Series now. It's so cool, you know? Because when I was in Little League, it was 1984. Yeah, it's been a while. When I was 11, we won the state, and the team that won it the year before, 1983, they were, you know, they were one game from the Little League World Series. And so I'm just watching it right now. It opens all this Davenport team. And it's like they're in the Little League World Series, and it's so cool, you know. And why? We love overcomers, right? I mean, we live in America, so, you know, it's like we like the champions. You ever notice that too? Like Super Bowl time, or, you know, whoever wins the Super Bowl or the World Series, it's like all of a sudden you see, you know, like, what was it, a while back? I think the Blue Jays made it there or something, and I'm thinking, oh, that's incredible. Oh, there's like Blue Jays hats all over the place now. You know, you know why? Because people want to identify with an overcomer, right? They want to identify with it. I remember years ago, I mean, there weren't that many Chiefs fans. Now it's like, hey, there's Chiefs fans everywhere, right? Or, you know, I only knew Bears fans and some Vikings fans. I didn't know very many Green Bay fans. I didn't know any real Chiefs fans. And now it's like all these people are Chiefs fans, right? Because why? Because we want to identify with overcomers. And so let's look at some people and their reaction to mistakes. Here's the thing, and I think this is a big mistake too, as a Spirit-filled believer, as a Christian, we think that if we're Spirit-filled, that we're led by the Holy Spirit, we're never going to make mistakes. We're never going to miss it. Or we'll walk with Jesus that somehow everything's perfect or nothing's ever going to go wrong. But if we look at Matthew 27, verse 5, and we're going to look at the differences and the reaction. And again, as a Christian and as a believer, as an overcomer, it's about how we react to things, right? We are not expected to have all of the answer, but we are expected to connect with the answer, which is Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And so Matthew 27, verse 5, and it says, this is Judas's reaction now, right? So what happened is Judas, he sold Jesus over for 30 pieces of silver, got condemned, went back to the temple, threw it back into the temple, and says, I don't want it anymore. And then we see here, and he was cast his silver pieces in the temple and departed. Here we go. And he went and he hung himself. So Judas made a mistake, and then what happened? He committed suicide. He hung himself. Because why? Because Romans 12, 21. He let evil conquer him. But on the flip side, we see Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 60 and 61. And it says, Peter said, now this is after Peter denied Jesus three times. So we've got Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, got condemned, threw him back the silver, and went and hung himself. We see Peter here. What? He denies Jesus three times, and when he did it the third time, Jesus looked at him. Like, can you imagine that? Yeah. Like at the last time, Jesus looks and goes, I told you. And what does Peter do? Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Talking about, hey, you're one of those disciples. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. So again, two horrific actions, two different results. Later we see Peter is what? After Acts chapter 2, he's preaching to 3,000. Gets 3,000 people saved, completely turns things around, and just, again, recovers and is an overcomer. Judas gets condemned, does not repent, and again, it's over. Why? Because he let the devil overcome instead of being an overcomer. Philippians 4:8, I love this scripture here. And part of overcoming is getting our mind straight, right? It's having this winning mentality in the spirit realm. It's getting our mind straight. And it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. I know it's easy when you're trying to do things, whether it's build a business or you're in school or you're, you know, trying to do something and, you know, the enemy's always there to tell, you know, the flesh always wants to say, it's probably not going to work out. You're going to fail. It's, again, that's the flesh. That's the easy part. But what does it take? It takes tenacity. It takes faith to step and go, no, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, right? I can be an overcomer through this. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Now this is putting on the armor of God, right? This is becoming an overcomer. You are putting on the armor of God. You are arming yourself. You know, there's nothing neutral in the spirit realm. You're either for God or against Him. That's it. Too many people are losing because they're neutral. If you don't pick a side, you've already picked a side. And that's the enemy. Christianity is not a spectator sport. To truly walk with God. I remember listening to Lester Summerall. And Lester Summerall was a minister. He was a missionary all over the world and did different things and stuff. And some of the stories that he said, just his interactions with the devil, were just hilarious. And he was a general. He commanded in the spirit realm. And he would fly somewhere and he would step out on the tarmac and say, I'm here, devil. And he would announce in the spirit realm that he's here and he's coming for him. And I remember having a conversation with Gary Crowell, because he had Lester Summerall come to his church in the early 80s, and just what he was like and just this commanding presence in the spirit realm, right? And so, you know, as a Christian, there's no neutral. You've got to be an aggressor on the enemy. If you're going to be an overcomer in the spirit realm, you got to be aggressive. You got to, you know, get ahead of the enemy, pray things out ahead of time, speak things out. I just remember I was in a meeting this week. We have a presentation, and and one of the guys was there, and he says, you know, everybody we talk to about your business, it's like people love being around you guys. They don't know that I'm praying in tongues all the way to the job site. I'm praying in tongues over everything. I'm praying for people. I'm praying for my guys. I mean, I'm praying all the time. I'm in the truck. I'm praying, right? And it's because I'm taking authority before I get there. Now, not everything's totally perfect, and flesh is flesh, and people are people. But I'm thinking to myself, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And I was like, yeah, we're having a little too much fun over here, but I'm praying for people, right? I am praying in tongues from the time I get in the truck until I get there, and I'm just praying all the time because I'm taking authority in the spirit realm. Now, not to manipulate people or anything else, but what I'm doing is I'm praying things out. I'm just praying all the time, right? I'm praying at night. I'm praying on the wheel. I'm just doing these things. Why? Because I believe I want to be an overcomer, not just for fun, but to help people, right? To create an atmosphere. I believe when Jesus stepped in places, He dominated, right? Demons screamed and they left and they, you know, there was pain. And why have you come to torment us before our time? That's an overcomer. Having a mentality that, no, I am going to overcome. Yeah, the devil may try to bring things my way, but I'm going to overcome this in the spirit realm. And so we see here in Ephesians 6:10, and it says, the final word, this is New Living Translation, be strong in the Lord and the power of his power or his might, the King James. This isn't anything that I have in me or you have in you. It's all the Lord. And that's why we got to give him glory in everything that we do, right? It's his power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. What is that? We're putting it on. It means we're being proactive. We're putting on that armor. Why is it? It's protecting ourselves. We're guarding ourselves with the Lord and his power and his might and his word is in our mouth. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. See, everything that we see in this realm is a result of the spirit realm that is now manifest here. And I just made a note here. This is something that we do all the time, right? If we do not, over time, you'll slip into something that you don't want to. Meaning, if we're not putting it on, if we're not living in this realm, if we're not walking these things, we're not praying these things, we're not putting this armor on and being proactive, we're going to slip into something. And I think I said it before, but the biggest enemy that we have and that's going to be in your life is ease and complacency. That's it. It's going to, and I've looked at my life, and I'm like, yep, I got lazy there because I'm complacent. I'm just have not stood my ground there. I've settled for easy, convenient. It doesn't mean you have to be doing hard things, but what it does mean is when we settle for, I'm okay, then that's lukewarm. That's complacency. I was spending some time praying this week and I was talking to the Lord. I'm like, how do I get deeper with you? You know, like, how do I get, you know, I'm spending time, but I just want to get deeper. It's like, it's never good enough, right? The good thing about Christianity, walking with God, is just you can become addicted to the Lord and get to a point where this isn't good enough. I want deeper. I want more, Lord. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. So because I just want more stuff, I just want to connect with him. And I'm just praying and just, Lord. Verse 13, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And, you know, I like to say this too, when your spiritual walk is not just for you. It's for your household. It's for your family. It's for, you know, future generations. I believe that, you know, my house will live up to 1,000 generations after me, right? Because all we have to do is just say no to the devil and walk in things. How many families, how many lives are submitted and they're broken because they don't know that they can have authority in Jesus' name? Stand your ground. It says, then after the battle, you will be able to stand firm, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Truth. 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 How many people do not know truth? They're being lied to all the time, right? They can't do this. Nobody cares about them, right? We're just talking about the young fella earlier that you know gave up his life. Why? Because he wasn't embedded in truth. God so loved the world. There's someone that loves us. It doesn't matter what we feel like. It doesn't matter what we think. It's like God still loves people, everybody, even though they don't feel like they're loved. The truth is they are loved. That's truth. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, this is huge. We just kind of skimmed through this. What are the? It's the lies that the enemy continues to bring you, right? You're not going to be able to pay your bills. You're not going to be able to buy gas. It's going to be awful terrible. You know what? Nobody likes you. You got to pay that bill. Your kids aren't going to amount to anything. Everything's going to be awful terrible. See these lies? And what happens is then we believe them. Then we live them out, right? We have fear. We have anxiety over all of these things because, again, none of it's true. You know, all the things that I get concerned about, you know, I just remember, you know, of course, I don't really get too nervous about giving presentations. I gave one, you know, Friday, I was giving a presentation or something. But I just remember being younger in school, you have a presentation or a report or something you got to give. And then, you know, you're running through your mind the whole day. You know, or the whole night, you know, you're up and you're like, oh, the ceiling's going to fall in on me. Everybody's going to bust out laughing. They're going to throw rotten tomatoes at me. I mean, your mind just goes crazy. And then when you're there and you're up giving a reporter a speech, it's like, oh, that wasn't bad. I didn't die. The world didn't come to an end. Why? Because we blow things out of proportion that are not real. They're just unrealistic. And whether they're, you know, and they're not going to happen, but the devil wants to get you so bound, so upset, so controlled, your mind, and why these fiery darts of the enemy? You said, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. But put on the salvation of as your helmet and take what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I love using the word against the enemy. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I believe we got to have that. It doesn't mean that we're, you know, walking everywhere, all glazed over eyes. We're praying in tongues, you know, in the mall and restaurants and everything too. It just means you're in tune with the Lord and listening to what He has to say. We're listening. We're being perceptive of what the Holy Spirit is saying, right? I remember this week I was praying and different things, and I was like, Lord, this one thing that I was doing, I'm like, Lord, am I supposed to be doing this? And the Lord's like, okay. And He spoke real stern with me. He says, stop picking that thing up. If I've told you to do it, stop questioning me about it. And see, I was like, am I supposed to be doing this? Am I supposed to be doing this thing? Am I supposed to be doing this thinking? And the Lord just rebuked me and said, get it settled in your heart. This is what I've told you to do. And run with it. That's one thing. Okay. Because why? I'm letting fiery darts come my way because I wasn't settled on the word, right? I wasn't settled on what He'd spoke to me. And it's kind of like I keep picking it up and I'm digging it back up. Instead of planting it and letting it grow, now I want to dig it back up and then I want to plant it. Then I want to dig it back up and I want to plant it. And just the Lord was speaking, just really speaking to me. You know, he's the longer you walk with God, it's kind of like a parent, you know, or somebody you get close to. They're really direct and the Lord will speak to me about things like stop it or, you know, and He just really spoke to me, you know, very clear about it. Just stop picking that up. Believe it. And also, too, He just said, do you believe you hear me or not? Right? But I love Him for that because I need that in my life, right? I need that in my life. And everybody's running away from rebuke. Everybody, and but It says the Lord chastens what? Those whom he loves. I mean, he brings correction to us. The Lord said it. He's like, if I spoke something to you, run with it. Stop asking me about it. And also, too, do you believe that you heard me or not on this? And that's about being an overcomer. It's being settled. It's about James being settled in our mind. And an overcomer is we're settled. We're not a double-minded person, right? And I don't care. Still need, you know, the Lord's still going to rebuke, you know, as we grow with him, he's going to speak to us. He's going to rebuke us. He's going to help us. But then when I said yes, guess what? He gave me an answer for the thing I had been asking him about. Because I began to settle myself on some things. I'm going to be an overcomer in this area. And it began to give me some revelation, some help in some areas. And then ask, and then pray too, for me that God would give, he's talking about the words to speak. So again, here's the Apostle Paul. He's standing in, you know, having that armor of God on him. He's putting it on, but also too asking for prayer from other people. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 18 and 20. And it's very important for our words to stay with our vision and to be an overcomer. Because I believe, just like we just read the poisonous darts of the enemy, we can, when we're beginning to doubt ourselves or you know, speak negativity or fear or something like that, those are poison darts coming out of our mouth. And we see here that, you know, this is where John is going to be born, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, and prepare the way for, and he's going to prepare the way for Jesus. But we see here where Zechariah, his father, said to the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple there, how can I be sure this will happen? Because I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. And then the angel said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the very presence of God. And it was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you don't believe what I've said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Our words are important. That's why it's like, it's also, you know, I remember I had some family members that their kids, you know, and they kind of self-fulfilled. I've got some cousins and an aunt, and she'd go all the time, well, you're just stupid. You're just always saying that over her kids all the time. And why? You start believing those things. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Successful people don't talk about, it's never going to work, this is awful, this is terrible. What do? They're always looking for, I can do it, I can figure it out, we'll get it done, this is going to happen, we're going to make it work. We'll even do things at work and things like that, and we'll get into something and I'll say, just figure it out. You'll figure it out. And guess what they always do, right? We're going to figure it out. We're going to do it. I will just give up. James chapter 3, verse 2 through 6, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. What it means is that our tongue has the ability and the capacity to either make us or break us, right? We just read, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, sometimes it doesn't mean that we're always speaking with our tongue. Sometimes it's internal dialogue, but we're saying, I can never do that. I can never do this. It's never going to work out. God's not going to help me. It's not going to work out. The Bible talks about, as Christians, we need to provoke the Jews to jealousy, right? So there's something that God wants to work through us, whether it's any area of life, God wants to use us as an example to the world. We can have peace. We can have joy. We can have, you know, and it's never, life is not going to be easy, but we're going to be overcomers. Like we were, I think it was Rick Renner was talking about different countries, about how, you know, here in the United States, everything's about prosperity. You know, everybody sees prosperity through the Gospels. And then you see, what is it, Russia, about their suffering, you know, different countries, and they see different things in the Word, you know. And I believe all those things come together, because we see that, yeah, Joseph, there was a period of suffering, but God brought him out of it, right? And Jesus, of course, there was much suffering in his life. And if we're deluded to think, and again, it's unfortunately, it's been a gospel that is not correct. I believe in prosperity, but again, with anything else, God, that, you know, there's a ironing, sharpening iron. There's a going through a fire and a testing period that we're all going to go through. And God is trying to grow us and trying to develop us and trying to do things, because the things I could not handle things today, you know, 30 years ago. Because I'm glad that God refined and did some things in me, and he's continuing to do that. And all of us here too. You know, you probably look back 15 years ago, and, you know, many years, and you look, wow, I can handle a lot more than I did then. My capacity's grown. That's a God thing. But how did your capacity increase? Through growing. There's like some tests, there's trials, you know. I definitely don't believe God's putting sickness or disease on people, obviously. But, you know, Jesus was persecuted, there was challenge, there were things. But we're overcomers. I love that one scripture. We'll read that before we close. It's, don't let evil conquer you. Here we go. But conquer evil by doing good. Doing the right thing according to the word and in prayer. We can be overcomers. It's easy to run from pressure. It's easy to run and say, well, you know, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't, but sometimes God is trying to work things through us. Through, you know, I've had bosses before. I've had things that, you know, I worked for some pretty ridiculous people in the past. but you know what it did? It opened my eyes to, I don't want to be like that. And that, you know, just other people, you know, and just other things that I've seen in the past too with leadership, and always think that, yeah, there are people that get goofy, they get weird. People, there are rebellious people to leadership, and of course, you know, there's those issues. But also too, it gave me the opportunity to, hey, have compassion for people, right? Because sometimes there's personal things going on, there's things going on, they need help. But business is business, or you know, leadership is leadership. But on the other hand, have that aspect of, hey, you know, people do have things going on in our lives, and you know, try to give as much understanding to people as possible. So again, it's just things you go through. It helps you look, you make mental notes of things, like, I don't want to be like that. I want to change. I want to make sure I don't do that. I need to change that. And so some of those things that, you know, we don't let evil overcome us, where now we just go to a pity party, but we can sit back and say, I learned something. I could take that. And, you know, sometimes we learn things from what not to do to do. And a lot of the people that I've worked for, I've learned things what to do and what things not to do, and you bring them all together, and I'm like, it's been a good experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything now. Wasn't comfortable at the time, but I look back and like, eh, there's some pretty valuable lessons, right? It's hard to thank God for those things sometimes too, right? We thank God when the big checks come in, and you know, the boyfriend says, will you marry me? And you know, get all paid trip to Hawaii. I mean, those are the, oh, praise God. But, you know, I've been going through things where, like, I'm praising God in the good and bad. I'm good and challenging times, right? So I don't want to be that little kid on Christmas Day that just says, Daddy and Mommy, I love you, and the presents are flowing. And then, you know, when it's time to go to bed, I don't like you. I don't want to be that kid, right? I don't want to be that kid. But Lord, I want to be somebody that is going to praise Him all the time. Father, we just thank you. Lord Jesus, you're so good. The Lord, even though we're imperfect, Lord, that we can do nothing without you, that we cannot conquer the devil without your Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, and without your presence. But Lord, we thank you because of you, we're overcomers, because of your word and your spirit, that we can overcome. Lord Jesus, that you can give us vision. Lord, that you can give us strength. We can have joy in the journey, and we're overcomers. And I just praise you and I thank you in the name of Jesus.